When it comes to finding a mate, we all have certain qualities that we're looking for. One of the qualities that I was looking for in my husband was his values. I wanted to make sure my husband loved God and based his values on the Bible. But yours may be different, and when finding a mate, Perfect Match analyzes the whole person. They evaluate everyone's personalities, values, ideals, life, and love styles. PerfectMatch.com/Amber are the only online dating system to offer the Duet Compatibility System. To help you find your mate and the qualities you are looking for, use PerfectMatch.com/Amber, and when you do so, you'll receive 2 months with the purchase of 2 months. So check out PerfectMatch.com/Amber today.
It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Well, welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May, and I am really excited about the program today. We're going to be looking at inner healing again. You know, there's things that really hurt us deep inside, and really it's only God that can really get deep down inside and help us and relieve us of these deep, dark pains. And I am so excited about my guest today. I have Pastor Al. He is one true man of God who can bring the word sometimes like you've never heard it before. So welcome, Pastor Al, to the program.
Thank you, Amber. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm kind of going to hand over the program to you and tell us what God has put on your heart. I'm really excited to hear it.
Well, you know, it's a topic that a lot of people will avoid. They'll allow their entire relationship sometimes to get polarized from the hurt that has happened in their life.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, when I look back on even the experiences that God has brought me through, I thought, why did I let it polarize me so long before I approached somebody and said, you know what? You really hurt me with what you said. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't like it. And so it festers, you know, how the master of lies will allow that to sit in your heart and fester and make your heart hard and all of the things that come with holding in hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to magnify it. And so it's a really neat topic that I'm excited about sharing some insights to, not only from a personal perspective, but from what I've seen in, you know, 16 years of ministry now, where people, you know, it runs the spectrum from I'm mad at God. How do I deal with this?
I hear that a lot.
I'm mad at God. How could he do this to me?
Yeah. Of course. If he's so loving, how come I'm going through this? Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. I can't believe that my own flesh and blood would hurt me that way. I'll never forgive them. You know, terms like that just, it runs through me like electricity now. And the softer my heart becomes to hear, I'll never forgive them, when that was the whole purpose for Christ coming.
That's right.
In the first place. It's a terrible thing to feel that you've reached a point in your hurtfulness where you can never forgive. Wow.
It makes me think about the fact that we've done something so bad to God. We hurt him so bad that we had to have his son come and die for us. And yet, out of all the pain that we've caused him, God can still forgive us.
Amen.
And if I would ask any of my listeners right now, if you had the choice to be forgiven or unforgiven by a person or by God, what would you choose? And I have a feeling that everyone would want to be forgiven, because most people feel guilty at one point when they realize they've hurt somebody in any kind of way. And I think everyone at one point would love to be forgiven, yet this comes up. And so I'm excited to see what God has for us about how we can get past some of these hurts that are so deep inside of us.
Well, I've been in prayer and knowing that this is going out to probably a lot of people who are going to be hurting. And yet 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, we sorrow. And we might have this hurt, but we don't sorrow like those who have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks who are carrying around hurt, whether it's from a life experience or whether someone has wronged them in some way, they need to know that God is there.
Mm-hmm.
And that even though if they wanted to try to lay the hurt on God, God's big enough to say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. But here's why it happened this way. And if people will become that prayerful people, and if they'll talk to God and really talk to God, be real with God mm-hmm. about what they're going through, how they're really hurting, He can shoulder that. He's God.
That's true.
And so I would encourage anybody who hears this that if you're hurting, know that there's someone who can handle it. And it's probably not you.
No, I don't think so.
But God is there for you. You know, hurts come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and they come on any given day, and they unleash themselves on us. And it doesn't necessarily take a person with a doctorate degree to understand that people are hurting.
And what you're saying right now kind of brings a scripture to mind. It comes from Psalms 34, where it says, "When you're brokenhearted, I'm close to you." And He wants to be close to us, because He doesn't want us to be, it's not His desire for us to be upset, brokenhearted, and have all these pains inside of us.
At all. It's not in the plan.
No.
I mean, we brought this hurt on ourselves, you know, our great-great-grandparents, if we want to call Adam and Eve that. This, all of this hurt and all of this strife and all of this death has come by way of things that we have done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've been hurt by others.
Right.
I understand that. It's just important that people not relinquish command of the capacity that God has given us to be compassionate towards one another. And I think as Christians walk, or as new believers mm-hmm. are walking, or as seekers are trying to find out the answer to why they hurt, it's important that they know that inside of each of us is this capacity for compassion mm-hmm. and this capacity to forgive. And it's that compassion and it's that caring that almost instantaneously transforms a hurtful situation into, "I never knew you cared. Thank you for saying that. I so appreciate the fact that you're feeling my pain, or at least you're trying to understand it."
Right.
You know, I may never be where you have been, but I can see that you're hurting. And I'm not a psychologist, but I'm a human being who understands what it means to hurt. If everybody was honest with themselves, at some time or another, some circumstance or someone has hurt them.
Right. Everyone, is it possible for us to be able to forgive people without really knowing God?
No. I hope we acquire that capacity, because that's what Jesus wants us to have.
Uh-huh.
He wants us to have the capacity to see hurt for what it is, no matter where people are in their life, no matter what the situation might be. He wants us to get that soft heart that sees a situation or sees a person hurting. And we instantaneously, in our own soul, in our own spirit, identify with, "Wow, I hurt for them." And for all of those folks who are hurting today, just know that I'm hurting for you. I hurt for people who hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to gain the capacity to be able to share that burden.
To be able to empathize.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because one thing that blows my mind is the scriptures talk about how badly Christ was beaten to the point where His face was so messed up, more than they've ever seen before. And He's hanging up there and He's in so much pain and agony. He can't breathe. He hasn't eaten. He's hanging by nails, trying to lift Himself up just to breathe. It's just a terrible situation that He's in. And He still says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Yeah.
I mean, that blows my mind. Here, He's just been beaten to death, really.
Right.
And He's on the cross, and He's telling God, "Forgive them." And they're the ones who did it to Him. If we could even get to that level.
Oh, I know.
It would be great. But I feel inside, and I could be wrong, that without Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, it's almost impossible to forgive when people have hurt us so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would take sometimes the Holy Spirit, or most times, or even all the time, when we've been hurt on such a level, that would take the Holy Spirit to help us forgive. Because when we don't forgive people, it's not affecting those people always. It eats us up inside. It starts like a cancer.
Right.
It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger,
right,
until we release it and give it to God. I don't know if, right, I'm right about this.
Well, you know, what I've found in ministry is that at the point in time where we accept that it's happened. Not necessarily happy about the fact that we've been hurt, of course, but there begins this understanding, or at least a search for understanding as to why it happened. Every human being that I've ever talked to who have been hurt, who have wanted to talk with me about the hurt that they're going through, have tried to understand why it happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Why would my husband leave me?
Right.
After 40 years of marriage.
Oh, that's a big one.
Why would my son disown me because now I'm a Christian? Why would my daughter, knowing how much I love her, go and have a living arrangement with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And go counter to everything that we've ever tried to instill in her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to that, you go back to Calvary and you see Jesus himself trying to understand what is happening to him on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Right.
What have I done? You know,
mm-hmm.
What have I done to deserve this?
That's right.
And so all of us seek, you know, the 100% humanness of Christ at that moment was seeking to understand why it had to happen this way.
Yep.
Why this much hurt? Why this much pain? And some of those answers we won't have until we ask Jesus face to face and consult with the Lord. But I believe he's righteous. He's true. He knows what he's doing. Al Roberts doesn't know what he's doing.
I certainly don't know what I'm doing.
But God knows. God knows what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And I have learned this since long ago when I first sat down with John Baker at Saddleback Community Church in California. We were getting ready to start a Celebrate Recovery at our church. And it was in the infantile stages of Celebrate Recovery, but we were trying to start it in the state of Arizona. And while I was talking with John, he says, Brother Al, just remember this. He said, if you don't know anything at all about Celebrate Recovery, know this. God doesn't waste a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up. He doesn't waste any of those negative opportunities that have happened in our lives or instances, I should mm-hmm. say, not opportunities. He doesn't waste a one of them in helping to mold and shape us into what he wants us to be.
And those, I think, are going to help someone down the road. Like, I lost my child. I was pregnant, and I lost my kid, and I was devastated after all that. I'm still slightly, you know, left with, like, this emptiness, but I do know that my child's in the best place it could ever be in with God, and someday I'm going to see him. But this gives me an opportunity to sympathize with someone on a level where I can understand what they're going through and walk them through the journey I went to help them heal from this burden and this hurt of losing a child, where you get so excited you're going to have a baby, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so that's exciting that God's going to use that to help somebody else.
I hope that every Bible study in the land is geared towards discipleship training, to where we're helping to let Christians grow into this understanding that it's important for us all to be available
mm-hmm.
to one another. I know nothing about the loss of a child as you have just described it to me. But doggone it, I should be able to be there for you. And if nothing else, I should be able to listen
mm-hmm.
without prejudging the entire situation.
Right.
And to, if nothing else, give you an opportunity to have someone sit down with you and, to use 21st century terminology, download.
That's right.
Just download the situation
mm-hmm.
to someone else who cares, who's compassionate. I hope that's what we're training. You know, if we accept people where they are, we'll learn real quick that suddenly our hurts are probably not as great as we thought they were.
Yeah. And thank God for the story of David and Bathsheba, because David could understand, if I were to talk to him, to understand the pain of losing a baby. And that scripture right there gave me so much inspiration and hope and security. And it kind of helped soothe that pain, because he said, my child can't come to me, but someday I'm going to be able to see my child again. So that really made me feel good. And when I lost the baby, that God gave me those scriptures. And I think it's a great idea as believers to really know the scriptures, so that as you're reading, it will come back into your remembrance when you need it the most.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is why this is why it's critical for us to claim the hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Claim it and call it what it is. I mean, honestly, if something were to happen between me and someone else, and I have not matured to the point to where I can approach somebody and say, hey, do you have a minute? I just want to talk with you one-on-one about what happened, you know, back there, because I just want to make sure that I was doing everything not to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I feel that I may have done that. Understanding that we can be at fault doesn't give us any kind of a license to just willfully hurt without accepting what we've done.
Yeah.
Sharing Hebrews 12:1, it says this, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us, and this is the Living Bible translation, watching us from all the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around us and make us trip and fall. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set for us. You know, when it says to release and let go of these things, the interesting part is that we first have been very open about sharing what the hurt is. Polarization in situations where people are hurting, and I try to tell this over and over again to people, be careful and be watchful that you're not isolating yourself. Rule number one, if you're hurting, man, get around somebody who you can trust, who is mm-hmm. a confidant. I would say hopefully a Christian,
mm-hmm.
A good, sound, mature Christian that is going to be able to listen to you and to help you, if nothing else, be around other people and not. You know, man, isolation is just...
Because that allows depression to set in. Then it allows you to have the devil start speaking to you. And
no.
If you're not in that fellowship, it's easier for you to go down a slippery slope. And, like, let's bring up an example. Like, if a couple of someone, a man or woman, was coming to you because they were hurting, because they're going through a divorce, mm-hmm. what are some things that a person can do to start mending that wound that's deep inside? Because even though people are going through a divorce, there's still that connection, and there is somewhere deep in them a love for that person. And when you sever a relationship, it really hurts.
Right.
So what would we tell a couple or somebody maybe who just got a divorce? How can we help them go through a path of healing and restoration to where they don't hurt so bad anymore?
Yeah, first of all, identifying with them and first of all saying, I am so sorry that you guys are going through this. I really am. Be genuine.
Instead of saying, well, the Bible says God hates divorce.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Do you know that you guys have no other option? And of course, God wants marriages to survive.
Right.
Uh-huh. And yet, the best thing I have found when I'm talking to people in this kind of a situation is to say, I'm so sorry that you guys are even contemplating
mm-hmm.
killing a relationship. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely dissolving
mm-hmm.
A relationship that has been based, I hope, on some kind of level of mutual trust and understanding and faithfulness. You know, I've sat down with couples in these situations and I've shared with them, you know, usually when I've said, did you guys have an opportunity to sit down with your pastor before you got married and really understand what this relationship was mm-hmm. that we're getting into? Because I think that's where it starts.
Yeah, I agree.
It starts, and I for all of you pastors who are listening out there, don't stop counseling people who are even contemplating getting married. Sit down with them. Help them to understand what God's plan for the marriage relationship
mm-hmm.
is. I can't tell you how many times, Amber, I've talked to men in particular who didn't know the understanding of husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life
for her.
Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes they'd never heard it. Oftentimes, they certainly didn't fully understand the thrust of what that scripture was trying to tell a man in a situation like that. Certainly, laying down your life for your wife, to most guys, that's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that my family is protected. But I think that's only part of that scripture.
Right.
That scripture speaks to, hey, guys, it's not all about you in this relationship. And you have to do everything you can to salvage it
mm-hmm.
and to keep it growing. And so I start at the beginning. But then when we get to the points to where we start seeing communications break down, intimacy break down, then this pridefulness starts to raise its head, you know, and all of the stuff that Satan started back in the day before he was cast out of heaven, and you see it materializing, and you see these earmarks in this relationship where one person may have gotten a little bit more selfish than the other, and it certainly didn't help the situation. But then through bad communication and whatever, it deteriorated. My advice to them is to try to go back to that place where they saw things changing. Relationships have earmarks in them. You know, when you have your first child, you can't not forget that.
Right.
You can't forget where you were. I can remember the kinds of days, you know, rainy, snowy, cloudy, sunshiny. I can remember all of the earmarks during this magnificent. I've also, whenever I've brought these earmarks up and they start to raise them up and we start to literally write them down on a piece of paper and kind of look at it at a roadmap to where the polarization started and where the communication started breaking down, that we finally get to the point when we're talking about all this hurt, and we have in fact brought it forward, and people have had the opportunity to say they're sorry to one another and to forgive one another. Oh, the power of forgiveness, Amber, I'm telling you. There's a reason why God wants us so hard to practice forgiveness to the extent that we would forgive an enemy or even feed and water an enemy, as the scripture, you know, challenges us to do. That is so tough for the human.
Yes.
And so when we get to the point to where we've had an opportunity to forgive and they have in fact forgiven, then trying to encourage couples to let it go, you know? You know that phrase that we hear all the time, let go and let God? It's real. God wants us to let it go. Commit then to His plan. And we talk about this, going back to this passage of Scripture, strip off anything that slows us down. Well, what's slowing us down is this inability to forgive, or if we have forgiven, it wasn't a heartfelt forgiveness. It wasn't a true forgiveness. And we haven't perhaps practiced forgiveness enough to where we can really look someone in the eye, perhaps hold their hand and say, listen, I appreciate you saying that you're sorry. And it's okay. We're going to be okay. You know, I have heard those very words come out of my own wife's mouth. She's looked me in the eye, she's patted my hand, and she said, Al, we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for apologizing. We're going to be okay. The level of comfort and just, you know, the big exhale for me that comes from my wife who legitimately tells me, we're going to be okay. This hasn't put a hole in the bow of the ship, you know. We're gonna survive it. Another point that I like to make with folks as they're going through this, you know, we're challenged to be salt and light.
Right.
It's kind of hard to be a light when you're constantly walking around hurting.
That's true.
Because your reflection to other people, of course, is everything but light.
Mm-hmm.
And you're certainly adding no flavor to anybody's life by walking around, oh, woe is me. And so, you know, I'm the classic morning guy. I get up in the morning. Everything's right with the world. The sky is blue. The air is fresh, even if I'm downtown and I'm breathing. You know, if I'm walking behind a bus, I'm like, wow, isn't it great to breathe? But all of that aside, I try to infuse in people who have been hurt that there's a reason why the sky is still blue. And God wants you to admire the clouds that we've recently been having and try to point out shapes, because we become in love all over again with how God created us and how special we are to Him. Good, bad, or indifferent, hurt or no hurt, God created us. We are the most beautiful of His creations, and He wants us to enjoy the life that we've been given.
Absolutely.
And so to stay in that hurt mode is robbing you of not only the joy of meeting the needs of others and being that light to the world, but it's keeping you from worshiping God to the extent to where the communication lines are reopened with Him.
Now, one scripture that really comes to mind, and I think it's a beautiful scripture because we're talking about hurt, comes from Revelations 21. And basically it says, one day I will wipe away every tear from your eye. And if you're in pain right now, I want you to know that one day you're going to if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, one day every pain you've ever felt will be gone.
Amen.
And it's only a temporary situation. And this is your chance to be the victor in that temporary situation. And by allowing God to do something in and through you, just like Pastor Al's been telling us. And another scripture comes to mind is my favorite, Jeremiah 29:11.
Oh, yeah.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That, in essence, sums up of what God wants for us. When people say, why did God do this to me? It's not God necessarily doing that to you. It's things that happen on the outside, sinful, fallen world that we live in. But God will use that for his good, because he does say he will turn around all the bad for our good. And he'll use all these bad situations, like losing my child. I could have blamed God for that, but I didn't. And I chose to see it. Okay, well, God's going to take care of my child for me. I could have saw it. He hates me. I hate him. He stole something from me. But I chose to see it that he's taking care of something precious for me. And so we can turn around situations. And things I'm thinking of is like if someone physically hurt us. You know, that's not something I know really how to react with, except to kind of empathize with them, but to also tell them that that wasn't God's plan for you, because God's plan is to prosper you, not to harm you. But other people take advantage and do things that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and you know, you're absolutely on the mark. I, as you were speaking, I recalled this situation where, as a very, very green pastor, and Dr. Jinks, if you're listening, that you'll remember that that's one of the times that I tore my britches as a pastor, as he would say it. But I was in a situation where someone lost a loved one. And all I could muster in all of my first year as a pastor was, well, but your loved one's in a better place. And, you know, I'd never heard words come out of my mouth that rang more empty to a person who was so deeply grieving than when I said that. And while although it is true,
right,
that we look forward to the day of seeing Jesus face to face, and I can't imagine how spectacular the first day in heaven is.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
When you're talking about someone who is hurting and grieving the loss of someone that they've probably spent their entire life with, it rings kind of empty.
Mm-hmm.
And that now they're alone, they're at a place that they've never been before. And how do you minister to someone? And this is the question I still ask the Lord. How can I better minister to people who have lost loved ones?
Mm-hmm.
Because not knowing their entire life situation, I really don't need to. All I need to know is that there was a great amount of love that was shared,
mm-hmm.
A lot of spiritual capital, if you will, was spent between these people who lived their entire lives and went through their own hurts and habits and hang-ups together, to just let them know. And I think this has been the best answer, and I'm open to any other pastor suggestions out there that might help me to do better at this. But just to say, what can I do for you? To be available to them. I don't know that I understand the hurt that you're feeling right now, but if there's anything I can do, would you please let me know what that is? You know, if you need help with arrangements, if you need, you know, if right now in the forefront of your mind, this one lady told me once, God bless her heart, she says, I don't know who's going to mow the lawn.
Aww.
Now, who would think at a time of mourning and grief?
That's something you would think about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can mow a lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Let me come and mow your lawn. Had another gentleman who responded, he says, you know, I don't know that I'm ever going to take up cooking, and I know now that I probably will never cook because I don't want to burn something and ruin one of my wife's pots and pans.
Aww.
I mean, that really was a conversation that we had,
mm-hmm.
and it was almost like he wanted so much not to damage those things that she cherished.
Right.
And so I learned a long time ago that trying to understand how people grieve and at different levels, there's always something new that comes to the grieving process for me as a pastor. And I have to handle each one of them so delicately.
Absolutely.
And so carefully.
And as you're saying this, a scripture comes to mind. It comes from Isaiah 40. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. Because if we're in pain, just like a dad would want to hold his child so close, that's exactly what God the Father would want to do for us. Mm. And sometimes it might sound silly to people, but sometimes I really tell God, God, I just need a hug from you right now.
Right.
And I feel a lot better after I say that. Another scripture I want to tell you guys, if you are dealing with pain right now, also from Revelations 21, he says, I will take away all the pain you ever suffered on this earth. Again, this is only a temporary situation. Don't let this get the best of you. You still have such a wonderful life to lead. There's so many things that you need to still accomplish and meet and do. And this is, and God promises, he promises he's going to take away all your pain. God never goes back on a promise.
Absolutely. When we've identified the pain and we understand the pain, Satan would love us to stay thinking about the pain.
Bound up.
And Isaiah 43 says, listen, don't get hung up on the pain of the past. I have great things, you know, great things
great
planned
things,
for you.
Yeah.
And so we hinder those great things. Philippians 3:13, when we were talking about, dear brothers, I'm not all that I should be, but I bring all of my energies, Paul said, as Paul was dealing with this, all of my energies to bear on this one thing. And he said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You know, he struggled with this same idea of, I can keep thinking about how I stood there at Stephen's death, or I can think of the times that Christ has used me since the road to Damascus.
That's right.
And what he may even have planned for me even further down the road. And if there's any one thing that I like to try to share with people as a pastor is, listen, you may not think about it right now. But your best days, your brightest days
are still ahead.
May very well be straight ahead of you, just inches away. We try to fill these voids of hurt and pain with all kinds of things, pets, material things, and yet God, it seems, is standing right there saying, why won't you talk with me about this? I really want to have a heart-to-heart about this. That puppy, although you love him and you care for him, is not going to fill the void like I can fill your void. You know, Jesus was all about filling the gap.
Yes, he was.
And still is to this day. And so I would encourage you that if you're out there and you're hurting, continue to talk to God about it. Don't stop talking to God about it. As long as you need to talk about it, God is there to listen.
That's absolutely right.
God is there to listen.
I am so thankful that Pastor Al came to speak with us. And I told you he's a great man of God. He always brings a great word.
Thank you so much,
Pastor Al, for coming on the program with us. If you'd like to contact me, you can always do so by going to my website, ambermayshow.com. If you have been blessed by any of the programs, I would really ask you to prayerfully consider sending a donation, become a monthly partner. Right now, I'm month to month. I don't know if next month I'll be on the air. So if you would prayerfully consider becoming a partner with me, I'd really appreciate it. And remember, instead of thinking about just yourself, number one, think about someone else, number two, because eventually, number two is going to look out for you.
And God cares more about how we finish the race
than how we started it.
Yeah.
Good faith radio shows like the one you just heard can't stay on the air without partners who listen, get blessed, and learn more about God's Word, and then contribute with financial help. Even a small love offering invested in the show you just heard goes so far as to help pay for airtime and as a vote to keep the show on the air. Send your love offerings to Amber May at the station or ambermayshow.com. That's here at the station or ambermayshow.com. Thank you for listening to the Lord and for giving to this radio outreach.
Hello, my name is Susie. I'm a college student who is being prompted by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel to unreached and unevangelized university students in East Asia. There are over 1.4 million people who make up the unreached people of this city that me and a team of seven other students from Second Mile Church will be going to this summer. There are many who have simply never heard of Jesus. God is opening the door for us to carry the message of the gospel to them. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, will you go with me through financial support and prayer? If you would like to partner with me in sharing the gospel in East Asia, you can send your love offering by April 15th to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417, Tucson, Arizona, 85732. Again, that's addressed to Second Mile, P.O. Box 57417, Tucson, Arizona, 85732. Now, please attach a note with my name, Susie, when sending your love offering. And thank you so much for your support.